Hello, this is Father Michael Eads from the Toronto Oratory, and you're listening to Lectio et Oratio, a short spiritual reading podcast followed by a reflection.
Chapter 25 of The Spiritual Combat. The soldier of Christ, resolved to fight and conquer his enemies, must avoid as far as possible anything that intrudes upon his peace of mind. Continued. The enemy detests this peace, for he knows that this is the place where the Spirit of God dwells, and that God now desires to accomplish great things in us. Consequently, he employs his most devilish means to destroy this peace. He suggests various things that apparently are good. It is a trap. You will soon discover that these desires will destroy the peace of your heart. As a remedy for this dangerous attack, we must be on guard against any new desire seeking entrance into our heart. Never permit its entrance until you have completely submerged yourself in offering this to God. Confess your ignorance and beg God to clarify the matter and show you whether this desire comes from him or our enemy. If possible, you should have recourse to your spiritual director. Even when we are convinced that this action is prompted by the Holy Spirit, we should nevertheless defer its execution until our eagerness to do this has been mortified. Preceded by such a mortification, a good work is more pleasing to God than when it is pursued too impetuously. It frequently happens that the performance of the act brings less merit than the mortification. Through the rejection of evil desires and the suspension of even the good ones, until we have suppressed the motivation of self-love, we shall preserve perfect tranquility of mind. It is also necessary to overcome a certain interior regret, apparently coming from God, under the guise of remorse of conscience for past sins. It is without doubt the work of the devil. The following test will clearly point this out. Whenever this regret produces greater humility, when it increases our fervor in doing good works and our confidence in the divine mercy, we must receive it in a spirit of gratitude as a gift from heaven. But when it occasions anxiety, when it makes us disconsolate, slothful, fearful, and slow to do our duty, we may certainly conclude that it has been suggested by the enemy and should be disregarded. It frequently happens, moreover, that our anxieties arise from the trials of this life. There are two preservatives against them. First, the consequences of these trials must be considered. They may completely destroy our desire of attaining perfection, or they may destroy our self-love. The diminution of self-love, one of our greatest enemies, gives no cause for complaint. Such trials should be received with joyful thanksgiving as favors bestowed by God. If they incline us to swerve from the path of perfection and make virtue repugnant, we must not be downhearted and lose our peace of mind. This will be considered later. Second, let us raise our hearts to God. Whatever he wills, without exception, should be received with the firm persuasion that every cross he wills to send shall prove an endless source of blessing, a treasure whose value one may not appreciate at the moment. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Angels of God, our guardians dear, to whom God's love commits us here, ever this day be at our side, to light and guard, to rule and guide. Amen. Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, Teacher of Teachers, have mercy on us. Saint Philip Neri, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So Father Scopoli says there's three basic tactics that the devil has for making us lose our peace. First, he can put evil desires into us. He can sort of insinuate things that are bad. But that often doesn't work because we see that's bad. So then he decides to try to encourage us to do good things the wrong time, in the wrong way, because he knows that if we do them, they will actually puff us up with self-love. We will admire ourselves for doing these good things. And so the devil's quite happy that we do these, quote, good things in the wrong way. And the third thing is this interior regret. So if he hasn't been able to get us to do that, those good things in the wrong way, or to do the bad things, then he whispers into our ear, oh, it was a big mistake, you shouldn't have done it that way. And he tries to make us have great remorse of conscience for so-called past sins. And Father Scopoli gives us a way to decipher true regret from the devil's regret. Okay, so the first thing about evil desires. We need to be humble. And if some evil desire comes in our heart, we shouldn't be surprised. This is what we do when left to ourselves. Father Scopoli says over and over again, distrust of self is the foundational weapon of the spiritual life. We have to believe and know from a certain experience. I, Father Michael, or you, whoever you are, I am capable, when left to myself, of every possible evil. But I'm not left to myself. That's the key. That's where the second weapon, trust in God, comes. So because we are fallen, we can have evil desires, and it shouldn't surprise us. Secondly, we can even do good things in the wrong way. And this is why we have to hold back. St. Philip loved to mortify people, and he had a spiritual child who wanted to enter a monastery, or he would often mortify them, delay them. They would propose good things to do. They were so fervent, and he would hold them back. Not now, do it later. No, you can't go to confession today, come back. And he would intentionally mortify them. And they often would say, after they became a Dominican or a Jesuit or a Carmelite, I never would have persevered in the religious life if Father Philip hadn't mortified me. That is, if he hadn't put to death or held back my over-eager desires for things. He trained me to be patient. Then this third thing, which is going to come even more as we go along in this book, interior regret. The devil loves interior regret. And how do I know if the interior regret is from the Holy Spirit or from the devil? Well, when I'm sorry for what I did in the past, does it make me more humble, more fervent, more confident? If it does, it's from the Holy Spirit. That's true contrition. But if this regret is, oh, I shouldn't have, all this feeling of my past, if it's making me anxious, if it's making me disconsolate, if it's making me slothful, slow to do my duty, fearful, overly sad, this is not from God, it's from the devil. He loves to tempt us first, and then after he's tempted us, he's the great accuser, making us waste all this time. Let us beg the Lord that if he allows us to undergo any trial, that he will give us the grace to escape. There will be trials, suffering, loss of friends, death, physical illnesses. There's other trials, which I mentioned the email today, very traumatic ones that he's not talking about here, things of kind of abuse and very difficult situations that are beyond the realm of this chapter. But he's talking about more ordinary trials that come from the fallen world we're in. And the Lord allows these things to happen to us. And one of the great graces of them is to diminish our self-love, the bad self-love, the love that makes us want our own good apart from others, that makes us forget about our place in the mystical body. Because you and I are saved not as pure individuals, we're saved individually as parts of a body. Each of us has a work to do. Each of us has a place in the body. And the Lord is counting on us, in fact. He has great desires, great interests. He has great things for each of us to do. And that's why the devil wants us to waste all this time with false regret. Oh, Lord Jesus, deliver us. Fill us with confidence, confidence in the divine mercy. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.